This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I'm Todd Hummel. We are sponsored by NIL Game Changers, Brewers Outlet, Purdy Insurance, and Sunbury Motor Company. We are in the Sunbury Motor Company studios here in Sunbury. Of course, we are in the smack dab in the middle of the first round of the NCAA tournament. The early part while we were on the air wasn't super exciting yesterday, but it did get exciting last night. I hope a lot of you were able to see Oakland and Kentucky, 10 three-pointers for the kid from Oakland, and really pulled off the big upset of Kentucky. Blew my bracket. I know better. I don't know why I took Kentucky all the way to the Final Four. Hindsight is 20/20 as well, but you know the signs were there that this was another Kentucky team that had a chance to go far because they could score a lot of points, but the issue was obvious defense, and you know they didn't play a lot of defense last night against the kid from Oakland and gave up a lot of three pointers. It just wasn't him. The other guard, I can't think of his name now. You wouldn't think I watched the whole game, but hit a nice left-handed three from the corner when Kentucky got the game down to 1 point late in the second half. And you know, it was an amazing performance by Oakland. And then you got to remember Duquesne pulled off the upset again yesterday, and they moved on into the second round. I think it's their first NCAA tournament win since the 70s, so that's big for that school. One of my real good friends got Duquesne's junior day is today, and he took his daughter out to visit Duquesne today, and they decided to go out a little early yesterday and get tickets for the late session out at Pittsburgh, so he got a chance to watch the Kentucky game live and NC State and Texas Tech, which was entertaining. And the other big thing from last night was the Kansas Samford game, where I wasn't paying a lot of attention to the first half, but I know Kansas was up double digits for a while, and by the time I got to it, Samford was in the middle of a run and getting back into it. And you know, they were down by a point. They gave up Kansas broke the press, and it looked like it was a breakaway dunk. And the Samford kid very clearly had a clean block on it, but the official trailing the play called a foul. I think if you're a basketball fan, you've seen the replay or the still by now of that shot by the Kansas player and the block by the Samford player. It was a great play. But yeah, the Kansas player, Timberlake, was able to hit two foul shots and allow Kansas to pull away a little bit at the end to pick up the victory and avoid the upset. But again, you know, it's the two guys watching the play that you can see on the screen don't blow the whistle. It's the guy from half court that thought he saw something, but I don't know what he thought he saw. I think a lot of times when that happens, that officials, you know, you don't want to anticipate. You know, you're human. I think he anticipated that he was going to hack him and make the foul. But it was a great defensive play. He very clearly got all ball. Samford had the rebound. It bounced off the rim, but he got called. The Samford player got called for a foul, and Kansas was able to put it away. I know right now Florida Atlantic and Northwestern, are playing right now. Both teams kind of struggling to score. I saw Florida Atlantic has 12 turnovers in the first half. Interesting winner of that one, I believe, gets UConn. So I don't think either are going to be around very long unless they pull off a second round upset on Sunday. NCAA wrestling tournament's going on right now. Looks like it's going a little better for Penn State. I did see that the Lock Haven's Anthony Noto moved into the semifinals earlier, a little bit earlier. They're just starting the quarterfinals, I think, in the last 40 minutes out there, out in Kansas City. So we'll have to keep an update as the day goes on to see how the Penn State kids do. I know the kid that lost yesterday, Nagano, did win his last two consolation matches. So
he did. In fact, they both did. They went 10-0 in session two yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I thought I saw.
Yeah, they went 10-0 in session two. So they stayed alive, both of them, in the consolations to go with the 8 that are in the quarterfinals. And they got tech fall after tech fall yesterday. Bernie Truex tech fall, Kirkfleet tech fall, Aaron Brooks tech fall, Messenbrink tech fall. Man, it's just like one after another. Starachi got 12-6. That was considered benign. It's like, okay, all right, good. Way to go, Carter. You won. Okay, great. Not as good as the other guys, but you're fine. So, yeah.
He does have a bit of an excuse.
Yeah.
He's
rust.
He's with rust, and he's dragging rust. One leg behind him.
Rust. So again, Davis, the number one seed, goes to the consolations, right? Because Figueroa beat him 3-2, right? And the difference was riding time. Nagao won in his consolation. He beat Club of Arizona State. A little bit of controversy in there, right? But he ended up winning. Then Bo Bartlett was able to get a pin, so he's in the semifinals, and he's going to get Lachlan McNeil of North Carolina, because guess what? Real Woods lost to Lachlan McNeil. So Woods from Iowa, gone. He's gone into the consolations. So Bo's going to get Lachlan McNeil. So Davis has lost. Nagao in the consolations has won. Bartlett by way of a pin has won. Now it's Kasich in the consolation against Ethan Fernandez of Cornell. Then Levi Haynes gets Peyton Robb in Nebraska. Messenbrink gets Cameron Amin from Michigan. Carter Starachi. Here you go. You're Makai Lewis, who's really good, by the way. Makai Lewis is really good, you know. He's the number one seed at 174. He and Starachi have had some great battles, but they get to do it in the quarterfinal round and not in the finals. Then Bernie Truax against the number 3, Dustin Plott of Oklahoma State, Aaron Brooks against the number 8, Stephen Buchanan of Oklahoma, Greg Kirkfleet against the number 9, Nick Feldman from Ohio State. So that's the matchup in wrestling. Okay. So there you are. NCAA tournament, halftime. If you love offense, Northwestern Florida Atlantic is dreadful. All right. It's 20-19 Florida Atlantic at halftime. Now, I saw both these teams play twice during the season. Northwestern played Penn State twice. And I saw Florida Atlantic twice down at Orlando. And this is the same Florida Atlantic team. They have 12 of the 13 guys back, you know, from last year's Final Four team. I mean, Davis is just... You watch Davis, you see him on TV, you watch him in person. You know what it is? When you see him in person, he does everything where he glides. Glides. I mean, he's really... And Golden is a really good center. Northwestern... They're playing with only 60% of their starting lineup. Nicholson's in a boot, so Hunger's at center now. Ty Berry, of course, is out for the year with his knee. So Martinelli's playing there. And they still hang in with teams. They got to get Boo Booey going. That's as simple as that. Boo's got to start shooting it. I mean, Boo's got to start shooting. I mean, he's 1-6 in this game. He's 1-6, and they're down one. Now, Davis, on the other hand, is 11 points. Colgate is losing to Baylor, and they're getting run out. It's 45-25. Baylor with 3:42 to go in the opening half. Baylor's just rolling. And the big reason why they're rolling is Jacoby Walter, who's got 13 points. They're just rolling.
I was going to say, I saw them on TV twice. I was really... It wouldn't surprise me if they make a run. They're talented at all the levels. They got a real good team.
Baylor's a lot better than I thought they would be when the season started. I mean, I give them credit. Now, let me tell you the anatomy of what an upset is. How you can tell in the first 10 minutes. And I don't mean 10 minutes of real time, 10 minutes of game time. That here we go. And there's always two factors I look for, and I saw it in the Kentucky game, and I saw it in the Kansas game last night. Now, Kansas ended up winning, barely. But this is what, in the first 10 minutes of game time, if the, quote, underdog team is shooting the ball well, that's an obvious. I think anybody can pick out that right away. Well, they're really shooting it well. They're keeping themselves in it. Look how well they're shooting, especially the three, right? Which Oakland did last night. You know, the one kid had 10 threes last night. Guy had been in Division II, all right? Well, he got, you know, but don't forget, who is it? He plays for the Miami Heat. I can see his face.
Duncan Robinson.
Duncan Robinson played at Williams, transferred to Michigan, then got to the NBA. I mean, he played Division III. So a team is shooting well, especially from three. So that's one sign. Now here's the second sign. The team in the favorite spot keeps going for the home run all the time. And you tries to go for the spectacular play all the time. And that's one where you're looking at like going, hey, guys, it's a 40-minute game. Play. Here's the key. Make a 5-point lead 10, make a 10-point lead 15, make a 15-point lead 20. Okay? Just go about your business. John Wooden always said, right? Be quick, don't hurry. Kansas and Kentucky, and this is the same pattern I've seen in every upset. Every time I watch the favorite team get upset, they are hurrying everything. They're hurrying their passes. They're trying to get the outlet. They're trying to get the dunk. They're trying to get the alley-oop. Instead of like, okay, let's set up a good play, get a good shot, and then go back down the floor and play defense. And Kentucky did that last night repeatedly. Kansas kept doing that last night, and I kept saying, you're not playing smart. You're not playing smart. You're not playing smart. And all of a sudden, you look up, and there's 3 minutes left. You're like, uh-oh. Problem. Kansas avoided the problem. They got a favorable foul call at the end. And Kentucky, which is not a good defensive team anyway, just couldn't get it done. And the big three at the end that they hit, very impressive. I'm talking about Oakland. And yes, this is Oakland from Michigan. Okay? This is Oakland from Michigan. I know that's not the answer people expected, but that's where they're from. And look, you know what? They have been a good program for a long time. And in their conference, they've been one of the standard bearers. But now they've won a game in the tournament. And guess what? Did you see their locker room after the game?
I did not. I saw the interview with the coach and
Greg,
the kid.
Greg Campy.
And the kid that hit all the three-pointers. And they seem to think they're in for the long haul. They were not super excited. They seem to expect it.
They showed the locker room, and they were just all sitting there listening to him. They weren't jumping up and down. They weren't dumping water on each other, anything like that. They're like, it was like, okay, this is what we're supposed to do. Let's move on, all right? And again, what's Kentucky's issue? Who was the best player on the floor for Kentucky last night? Reeves. What's Reeves? A senior. Who are the other guys?
Freshman.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Jack Golkey hit the 10 three-pointers. And again, you have to have the ability to do that. And it's not like Rocket Watts, their point guard. He played in the Jordan Center at Michigan State against Penn State. So I've seen Rocket Watts play in person several times. All right, so it's not like they don't have some guys that have transferred, quote, down. Okay. By the way, Jameel Brown, transfer portal, not unexpected. Okay. You're not hearing shockwaves in my voice when certain things happen. Okay. So we just want to make sure that you're up to date on that news. All right. We will take a break. Now, this half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Relaxed, rejuvenated, and refreshed. That's what life is like at Nottingham Village Senior Living Community in Northumberland. And at Heather Court at Nottingham Village, they're focused on supporting and enriching the lives of loved ones needing memory care. It's the area's newly built freestanding memory care facility with four distinct neighborhoods supporting 12 individuals and semi-private and private bedroom layouts, all designed to offer a home-like setting. Meals are offered in a family manner. There's a full kitchen in each neighborhood. Residents can enjoy homemade meals and snacks, and food is prepared.
All right. So, Jameel Brown, the latest to officially enter the transfer portal. He did last year as well. And so that is now what officially, what, four? Lily, Brown, Clary, Rogan, that's five. Favor, Ira. So it's five. Okay. There you go. And that is just the way things are in today's college sports world. I'll say this. The reporting in today's college sports world is a bit bizarre. And some of it involves the women's tournament. I don't get what's going on with the coverage of that. At all. I don't get it. You had reporters complaining about the bracket because LSU and Iowa would be scheduled to meet each other before the Final Four. Well, I'm sorry. The job of the committee is not to set up a Final Four that the media likes or the fans like. Their job is to sit there and go, okay, we're ranking them 1 through 68. This is where you ended up, this is where you ended up, and away we go. That's just a fact of life. I don't get, and there have been several, like, I don't understand that. Like, it's not the committee's job to do that. The committee's job is not to sell tickets. The committee's job is to sit there and objectively put together matchups based on what they think the body of work represents. And then the other story is, and this, I love this one. The women's basketball Final Four ticket is a hotter ticket than the men's Final Four. I would hope so. The women's basketball Final Four, which has been sold out for years, is being played in an 18,000-seat arena. The men's Final Four is being played in a 75,000-seat stadium. I think there might be a couple more availabilities, don't you think?
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour of the show being brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, lots and lots and lots of snacks. You're going to need them to get through all the wrestling and basketball this weekend. Six great flavors of slushies, pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, my two favorites. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. I assume that we have Pat?
He did not call yet.
Okay, well, let me know.
Just certainly
be patient.
Will.
Be patient. One of the truly great guys. What's been great about having Pat around much more as I've had a much greater chance to know him. And the more you know him, the more you just, I mean, I liked him before, but like he's top shelf. And we'll talk to him about this team and, you know, and the building of relationships in NIL and so forth. So, yeah. But again, we talked about, you know, when I see a potential upset, you can see it within 10 game minutes. Okay, one team's hitting shots doesn't mean they can't cool off, but again, right? And and so it's obvious team hitting shots, and then, you know, they stay that way. You know, I mean, they don't have droughts, they do, but they're hitting shots, especially threes. But watch how the favorite plays. The favorite plays as if they're trying to hit a five-run home run every time. Hey, fire it down court, fast break. We're going to throw the ball in an alley-oop. And you could see they're not playing to make a five-point lead 10. They're not playing to make a 10-point lead 15. They're playing to make a five-point lead 20 in a blink. No, just play ball.
Coach Flannery is on the line, sir.
As I said before, one of the great things that happened this season in bringing Mike Rhodes in is I got to spend a lot more time with Pat Flannery, whether it's just conversation or dinners. Hello, my friend. Welcome.
Hey, Steve. How you doing? Did you miss me?
Of course I did. Who wouldn't?
My wife.
Oh, jeez. You're preaching to the choir.
Yeah, I know.
I got that look. Please tell me there's a game this week. No.
You got that look that you're around too much.
Yeah, you know, I know. Now I got a list. What was it like for you being around this season and to see the job that Pat and his staff did, or excuse me, to see the job that Mike and his staff did in taking all the various parts and crafting it into a team, especially the last 6 weeks of the season?
Yeah, Steve, I think you being around together for this long, you know the how I feel and the feeling about Penn State. I thought that what a great experience, first of all, to just be around the program and to be around the people at Penn State. But within the program, I mean, obviously, Coach has done great things, and you know, Michael's grown so much in this world of coaching. That he's a veteran. I mean, he knows what he's doing. But the other parts of this, to see Jamal and Brent Scott and these guys, they've been working together, Jimmy Martell, they've been all together. And then, you know, throw in one of your Penn State legends and Joey Crispin. I just felt they all played their roles so beautifully. And the part of that is I think every one of their kids got better, Steve. I mean, I think they got better from the beginning of the year to the end. And let's face it, they didn't know a whole lot about a lot of these kids when they came on campus. I mean, they knew them because maybe they recruited them or they were in the portal or they did their homework, but they didn't know what they were getting, who would step in front of somebody, who would make the good pass, who could make free throws under pressure. And I just thought that it was so cool to watch this thing grow and just keep getting better and better. That I know they didn't want it to end, but it was really neat to see that kind of development. And I'm so glad to be around it.
There's another part, too, and we'll get it from the coaching point of view here. Because Mike and his staff come in, and you know, and they've faced Power 5 programs repeatedly at VCU. I got it. But mm-hmm. It's a steady diet of one Big Ten team after another. And that means new scouting reports one after another. What does that take for a staff to then adapt to a new league and some of the people in that league? Right, and what does it say about the staff that they were able to go out and win 10 games in the conference like they did, including the conference tournament?
Well, I think it's a great question, and it's really deep into what coaching and the mindset is all about, because I looked at the league, and I even found myself now, Steve, I wasn't an expert on the Big Ten, but haven't gone through it. I find myself now rooting for some of these teams because I know them so well. And I think when you take a staff that goes from VCU, a tremendous Atlantic 10, a great conference with a lot, but they've been there for so long, they knew the teams, they could recite the players. I think it's an awareness that you have to spend more time and more effort and more energy to be able to get to know these teams and what their tendencies are and where you can go. Meanwhile, you're trying to find out about your own kids as you're trying to play these people and who the matchups would be. So I think it takes a tremendous amount. I don't think I've ever appreciated understanding a league better than I did this year, because I think of the years in the Patriot League, I knew who the teams were. I knew who the kids were from freshman to sophomore to junior. It's a whole new world right now. You don't know who you're going up against sometimes until just the season starts, or until you get to Minnesota, or until you get to Iowa City. So it's certainly a great challenge. I think it's one that they did a tremendous job. They're very organized. They're very detail-oriented. But I think being together and being together as a staff for so long, Steve, I think that it was a great big plus for Coach and his staff that they did know each other so well.
How important has it been in the NIL part of it that you have it painstakingly, and you've done it because you think the world of Mike, but try to establish relationships that can then open doors on NIL?
Well, those relationships, it's recruiting. So regardless of where you're recruiting or who you're recruiting, it's a different world now, where if you lost a kid and it was down to four of you and you lost a kid, it was kind of, okay, he left, and now we're going to try to beat his brains in when we see him. And, you know, we'll be respectful, but he didn't want to be part of my family, so we'll go get him. Well, the mindset now has to be is you never know what's going to come around. You don't know what's going to happen next year, because it's a year-to-year thing. And I think that's allowed guys like Coach Rhodes to become they're really CEOs now. They have to look at all the big picture, whereas I felt when I was coaching them, you X and O'd, you recruited, you got in-house, you raised a couple dollars, and you went out and played the game, and that's what you did. And now there's so many more components to it, and the NIL has certainly created an enormous amount of those challenges, and so did the transfer portal, the way it was opened up recently to the kids can just move as they go. So yeah, to answer that, the NIL is probably complicated, more complicated in some places than others. But it's been told to me all year long, and I finally probably wised up being around it for the whole year that it's here, and you better adapt to it, and you better understand it, not just as a coach, but as a university and as an athletic department. You better understand it because it's not going anywhere.
What did it mean to you that Mike asked you to be involved like that? You know, just to be a part of what was going on?
Well, again, Steve, you know me too well. This would not have happened outside of my two boys, maybe, and maybe one or two other players in my lifetime.
Right.
I've known this guy since I'm a kid, or since he's a kid. Greatest respect. We've been in together for a long time, even when he was other places, and you know, enjoying myself down in the Hershey area. And I follow ball, religiously, and I have a son coaching, so I've always been on I've stayed in it for a long time. I just haven't been around it on a daily basis. And at first, it was like, "Come on, coach! You're just trying to do an old timer. You're trying to give an old timer a little juice." And then as it went along, and as we got talking, and he talked about things like, "Coach, I need somebody, I can trust, that I can count on, that is outside of my inner circle here, and yet you are in my circle. And be honest." And I think our conversations, I think he's gotten what he wanted out of it, and he certainly has given me. Just a wonderful year of basketball to be around these kids and to be around the program. It's really been special. I mean, it's I can't say at 66 that travel and some of the things we do, as you know, doesn't wear you out. But at the same time, we only get one time to do this, and I appreciate Coach even thinking of me. But it's been wonderful. Now we just got to get his family up there so he can have a lot of time with his family and not with Pat Flannery.
Yeah, well, in fact, yesterday he was in Richmond watching Porter play lacrosse. And when he texted me,
right.
Porter already had three goals when he texted me, because he told me. So
yeah, but isn't that though, Steve, right? With all the guys and all the people that you know, and you don't need to name them, but you think about your most special people that you've learned in your years and years of sports, and I feel the same way. Folks that have that family component and understand that there's a lot more than the game, they're just more honest guys. They're just more regular guys that are easy to cheer for. And being that he's homesick for his family and all, you wouldn't expect anything else. It's got to be really rough. And yet, at the same time, I'm not going to cry for him. This is his job, and they compensate him, and it's something he wants to do. So he'll figure it out. But it is kind of neat to hear about the kids and where they're at and what they're, what they're doing. And once they get up there with them and that gets squared, I know that will be a tremendous burden that's taken off his plate.
Yeah, but it's a more balanced life for the coach. And the other part is the young people, so whether it's James Franklin or Mike Rhodes or Cale Sanderson, when they see the family around like that, it sets an example, I think, for them about how important that element is, don't you think?
Well, it does, and probably we have the benefit of experience that we've been through it. Certainly you've been through it. I've been through it, where I think there was a day. I mean, I think of the Vermeil days and all. We used to think that's a badge of honor. Great mm-hmm. coach sleeping in the offices, don't go home. I went through it in a stage when I retired, where you're thinking the next one, you win a game in the NCAA, you think you can go to the Elite Eight, you think you can go to four.
Yep.
That's just the way we built. And I think the modern day coach, and that's why I have so much respect for Coach. I think the modern day coach, and I mean it sincerely, I think they recognize the balance that you have to have. But I think it's because of sports psychologists like Dave Eukelson, who people that have put this in your mind and made it a real honest to goodness conversation to say, wait a second, what am I doing? I need to get home for that game. I need to see them grow up. I need to coach the Little League team in June. So I think they have the benefit of that. Now, whether you can translate that into actually executing and being a balance, I just admire guys that can do that. And I think Mike does that in spades.
Guess who coached Little League together? Dave Uechelson and I were together in the same staff a couple of years.
Oh, what! Oh, what! I would have wanted to be a shortstop on that team or a catcher. Oh, I would have done anything for that experience.
Oh, just to be a fly in the wall for that.
I would have liked to have been an umpire for that game.
Oh, I can imagine the first guy you'd throw out. Your dinner partner in Nebraska.
You're right. Oh, Pat. My word. That's a picture. That's an image I'm trying to look at. You two coaching Little League. That would be funny.
I think we won a game. All right. So, I was talking earlier about, quote, upsets. And the, quote, underdog doesn't consider it an upset because they come in with confidence. You've coached in this before. When you see the Greg Campies of the world, you see what the guys of Samford are doing, you've done that before. What was always the mindset that you felt was the right balance for your team when they're going into what the public perceives as David versus Goliath, but you just think you're playing basketball?
Yeah, well, I think there's two things to that. One is what just recently happened. Last night watching Campy, they're up four and there's 4 seconds to go. And he's not smiling. I mean, he's not smiling. He's still coaching them because a kid made a bonehead play with 4 seconds and he did something. So you're so in the moment that people don't understand. Wait, the game's over. The guy should be happy. But you're so in the moment that I know I didn't forget it. I was in the locker room. And one of the kids looked at me and said, like, is this guy real? He's talking about getting on the bus and getting ready for Wisconsin. We just beat Kansas. And finally, the kids looked at me and their jaws were open. And I finally jumped in the air and we all went crazy. But up to that point, I was still in the moment. The other thing that's so important, and it happened to Oakland, happens to anybody that does that. These teams aren't real. I mean, yes, they can say these are upsets, and they are because you're the underdog. But most of the teams that win in the tournament, at some point, they have had success in their season people that look like Kansas. So in our world, we had beaten Pitt at Pitt. We beat Syracuse at Syracuse. And people forget that because of the table you're on in the NCAA. I'm not saying we went in there thinking we were gonna beat them. Well, no, we did think we were going to beat them. But it doesn't happen until you get to that 8-minute mark, that 4-minute mark. Because halftime, you know, you're there and you're still holding on, hoping and playing your butt off. And then all of a sudden you get to 6, you get to 4, you get to 3, and you go, you know what, we're going to win this thing. And I think that's kind of the mindset. And that was the mindset of Oakland last night. Kentucky missed a couple dunks. They missed a couple runouts. All of a sudden the kid makes a big one. And you're saying, you know what, we're going to do this. We're going to pull this off. So I think the confidence going in that you've at least looked like the people you're playing against, I think that's very important for officials and for everybody there, that you have some size, you have some skill, you have the ability to handle pressure. And then I also think that you've had to play a schedule that we always played really tough schedules so the kids weren't intimidated.
One of the really neat things for me about this past season was going out to a couple dinners with Pat and how much basketball I learned and also more about the life of it just by being around him. I can't thank you enough for that. It meant a lot to me. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Well, Steve, I back at you. You're an institution in Central PA, wherever you broadcast, and I've known a lot of you, and you've always treated, when we've come to State College, great respect, and I knew what I was getting into with the whole organization up there, and it's certainly first class, and it starts certainly with the voice of the Lions, and it's a mutual admiration, so I can't thank you enough for taking an old-timer under your wing giving me that Penn State background, because you're an institution, buddy. You started talking about some of these names. I thought I knew Penn State until you get around you and you start telling me about this Orange Bowl and that, and I walked away. I've become a big Penn State fan.
well, now that I've mentioned about the Uke thing, I mean, I don't hold that against me. All right, so.
No, he's the best. He was my boy. I love him.
Oh, my goodness. Pat, thanks so much, my friend. Appreciate you more than you know.
Thank you for having me, and have a great weekend. I hope your bracket's going well.
Thanks. Appreciate it. It's been destroyed.
Buddy.
All right, see ya. It's been destroyed.
Take care. Right. Thanks, Steve. Bye-bye.
Northwestern, Boo Booey caught fire second half. He's already hit a couple of trays. They have, I think, three trays in the second half. And Northwestern's up 48-41 with 8:45 to play, and Boo's up to 16 points now. I mean, look, they're playing shorthanded. They don't have Nicholson, their starting center, boot on the foot. They don't have Berry, knee injury. That's 40% of their starting lineup. Boo's got 16, Langborg has 13, Brooks Barnheiser has 11. They leave Florida Atlantic by 7. Colgate, they're going to have to hit a run here at some point. They're down 54-38 with 18:41 to play, and early San Diego State leads UAB 11-9, 14:45 to go first half. And then you've got Western Kentucky Marquette, and then CBS's next game is UConn and Stetson at 2:45. All right, this half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and not every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Appropriate bumper music brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, so let's update Tyler Kasich in the consolations. First period pin over Ethan Fernandez. And Levi Haynes gets to the semifinals at 157. He beat Peyton Robb 8-0. Major decision, 248 in riding time. So again, Braden Davis lost to Richard Figueroa of Arizona State, so he goes to the consolations. Aaron Nagao stayed alive in the consolations. He was able to win. He won 6-1. He goes to the next round of the consolations. Bo Bartlett was able to get a fall at 6:48. So he goes to the semifinals. He's going to face Lachlan McNeil of North Carolina. McNeil beat Real Woods of Iowa. Okay. Then Tyler Kasich stayed alive in the consolations, beat Ethan Fernandez. As I mentioned, he pinned him. Just 36 seconds to Levi Haynes, 8-0 major. He goes to the semifinals at 157. Okay? Messon Brink and Cameron Amin coming up. Carter Storace, Micaiah Lewis, Bernie Truax, Dustin Plott, Aaron Brooks, Stephen Buchanan, Greg Kurtfleet, Nick Feldman, and the suit against the Chief in the parking lot. No?
That's a first period fall for the Chief, I think.
Well, he's quicker.
Yeah. He's getting, no offense to the Chief, but he's getting up there. I don't know if he's got the quickness advantage, but he's got the height and strength advantage.
Look who he's wrestling against. He's quicker.